This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Last week, the Federal Communications Commission announced a new program to assist households in paying their internet bills. The new Emergency Broadband Relief Package offers $75 monthly subsidies on internet bills to all who live on tribal lands and qualify. KYUK's Olivia Eberts reports.
Per FCC's guidelines, all Alaskans live on tribal lands, which authorizes all of us for a higher subsidy than most of our lower 48 counterparts. But to receive the subsidy, you must meet income qualifications. One way to qualify is to make less than $22,000 a year for a one-person household. The numbers go up with each additional household member. For a full list, you can click the link on our KYUK website. Another way to qualify is if your income decreased last year due to the pandemic, and you made under $99,000 as a single filer or under $198,000 as joint filers. According to FCC spokesperson Paloma Perez, having filed for unemployment insurance benefits may also qualify you, as long as it means you still lost income overall.
As long as you have some way to prove that you either tried to apply for unemployment assistance, you received a furlough notice, you did actually receive some type of unemployment assistance, all of that can be used as proof that you lost a substantial amount of income.
What does not qualify you is if you've consistently made less than $99,000 but have not lost income. The amount of unemployment insurance received does count towards total overall income. And those who have lost income due to lack of seasonal employment because of the pandemic are also eligible. You can also qualify for the internet subsidy if you or a household member is approved for federal assistance programs, including SNAP, Medicaid, Lifeline, or free or reduced price school lunch. Although some school districts may offer free lunch for all students, you need to meet the free lunch requirement on your own to be eligible for the internet subsidy. Mothers on WIC cannot qualify for the subsidy based on WIC assistance alone. The $75 monthly internet subsidy will be applied to each GCI bill from when you apply until when the program funding dries up, or until 6 months after the World Health Organization declares an end to the pandemic. FCC spokesperson Paloma Perez says subsidies cannot be applied retroactively.
That's one of the reasons we encourage folks to sign up as soon as they can. Because once you are enrolled, that's when you can start taking advantage of the $75 discount every month.
To request a mail-in application for the internet subsidy, call 1-833-511-0311. That's 1-833-511-0311. Or to apply online, head to getemergencybroadband.org. According to the FCC website, you can apply directly through your service provider, like GCI. But a spokesperson for GCI said the company will just reroute you through the FCC's application. In Bethel, I'm Olivia Eberts.
Turning to sports, Bethel wrestlers did the impossible this weekend, proving that the Warriors can deliver even when they haven't had much time on the mat. Bethel managed to get some major wins when the team went to state competition with only 3 weeks to prepare and no previous matches with any other wrestlers around the state. Despite what appeared to be insurmountable odds, the Bethel boys team came in second at the Spring State Wrestling Tournament in Chugiak, and high school junior Landon Smith won his third state title. The Warrior girls team came in fourth. This was Bethel wrestlers' first competition since December 2019, and most of the teams they faced had been competing since March of this year. Five wrestlers in the boys' team earned major points on the mat. Besides Landon Smith's championship, Paul Diment and Joseph Smith took home second-place finishes, Jamin Crow placed fourth, and Charles Smith took home a fifth-place finish. Three of Bethel's lady wrestlers got significant points for their team at state. Rebecca Samuelson placed second, Fiona Phelan and Kaylee Amick placed fifth. Bethel coach Darren Lieb said the Warriors went to the statewide competition with, quote, a winning attitude, and it showed. Moving to science, a recently published study examines the phenomenon of holdover or zombie wildfires in Alaska and Canada. As KUAC's Dan Bross reports, the fires, which smolder underground through the winter and flare up the following spring, appear to be increasing due to climate change.
The study published in the journal Nature was led by researchers at a university in Amsterdam, aided by University of Alaska Fairbanks scientists. Co-author, UAF fire ecologist Randy Jant says holdover fires weren't historically tracked until the last 20 years, but they appear to be increasing.
Everyone I've talked to, all the longtime field people in the fire business up there, kind of think it is increasing in frequency. And, you know, now we're starting to expect these things after some of our bigger fire seasons.
The study points to more than 40 overwintering fires reported in Alaska since 2005. And Jant says climate change is suspected to be a key factor.
We think certainly that it's linked to longer fire seasons, warmer summers that can dry out fuels deeper.
Jant says when Alaska's peat-rich soils dry out, they can provide an environment where fire can smolder through the winter.
Penetrate down into the lower parts of that duff, or if it can get under the roots of, say, some trees and be protected from moisture, it can hold that fire.
Jant says the overwintering fires pose challenges for firefighters.
That smoldering all winter can leave a big pit of ash or maybe even a finger of fire that creeps out under an area that looks green on top. The surface hasn't even burned, but you know, it's kind of underground, so they have to like root these things out, and it takes a lot of water.
Jant says holdover fires typically crop up in the spring, and that requires firefighting agencies to be ready to respond earlier in the season. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
Lastly, we have a correction to a story that ran last week. The deadline to vote for Calista board elections is June 5th by 5 p.m. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.